Drowning is not random, it's not rare, and it's not inevitable. Drowning is a public health crisis hiding in plain sight. Globally, drowning is one of the leading causes of death for children. Here in Hawaii, it remains the leading cause of death for KKH 1 to 15, and yet it rarely gets treated with the urgency of other major health threats. Part of the problem is how we understand it. Drowning is defined as a process of experiencing respiratory impairment from submersion or immersion in liquid. That process has three possible outcomes: fatal, non-fatal with injury, or non-fatal without injury. And that matters because for every fatal drowning, there are more non-fatal incidents. These are often invisible, but they carry real consequences: brain injury, long-term disability, trauma, and lifelong impact on families. Then there is the economic cost. Fatal drownings result in a loss of life, productivity, and community contribution. But non-fatal drownings often carry an even heavier burden over time, including emergency response, hospitalization, rehabilitation, and long-term care. The cost is not just emotional, it's systemic. It affects healthcare systems, schools, families, and entire communities. And here's the truth. Most drownings are preventable. With the right combination of education, access, awareness, and culturally grounded solutions, we can change outcomes. This is not just about swimming, it's about water competency, respect for the environment, and shared responsibility, which we call here kuleana. Because Hawaii, the ocean is not just a place, it's part of who we are, and protecting life in and around the water. That is something we can and must do better. Today, on Deep Dive into Water Safety, we're very fortunate to have Alyssa Magrin, who came on our first show on Deep Dive into Water Safety almost a year ago. She's a leader with the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, executive director, an organization at the forefront of advancing drowning prevention efforts across the United States. Her work focuses on bringing together research, policy, and community-based solutions to address drowning as a preventable public health issue, from national strategy to the ground on the ground implementation. She is helping shape how we think about water safety at every level. We'll also talk about the International Aquatics and Water Safety Conference that just happened in March at the Broadmoor in Colorado, one of the leading gatherings of experts, lifeguards, researchers, and advocates working to reduce drowning worldwide. Alyssa, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming back on. I'm excited to hear about what's going on. So, can you start by sharing your role with the National Drowning Prevention Alliance and how you became involved and what drives your work in this space on a personal level? So, people who haven't heard from you will know.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thanks for having me. That was a I was listening to every word in your introduction, and so many pieces resonate and again ground me in why I do this work. And I'll start with the how I got into the work, because I think that's an important part of my story. And I got into the work by chance. It was almost 17 years ago, or 16 years ago. Actually, it was almost 17 years ago. And my daughter, who is about to turn 21, was 3, and a preschool classmate, they went to the same preschool, drowned in a lifeguarded pool. We lived in Austin, Texas. His name was Colin Holst, and I was called in because I worked in dropout prevention in the schools, and I worked with a lot of counselors and social workers at the time. And the owner of the preschool called me and said, "Hey, I know you work with counselors and social workers. I need you to send some help. We had a student drowned yesterday, and our teachers are a mess, and they need help." And I did that, mobilized my colleagues at Communities and Schools of Central Texas, and then I quickly had a parental wake-up call. And I'm a competitive triathlete. I'm a lifelong water person. I love the water. We live by the lake. We spend a lot of time at the lake. But I had never, until that moment, thought about water safety as something that, as a parent at the time, as a parent of a young child, that I needed to have that in my toolkit of parenting things. I thought about all the other things, the bike helmets and the car seats and all of that, but I and the locks on the on, the cabinets and all of that stuff, but I just really had not thought about water safety. And partly it was because I was privileged to have learned how to swim early and was comfortable in and around the water. And then suddenly it was like a very pivotal moment. So I started volunteering for Collins Hope after Colin drowned. He drowned in June of 2008. They started that organization in August, so very quickly after, just not knowing what they were going to do, but just knew that they had lost his parents, Jeff and Jana Holst, had lost their child to something that was preventable, as you mentioned. And they just couldn't believe that they didn't know. So they wanted to make it so that no other family had to endure what they did. And so I started volunteering just because it resonated with me. And so we had a kids' triathlon and a golf tournament and all these things. And I just started volunteering. And about 2 years into it, they said, "Hey, we want an executive director. Like, we don't want to be the ones running this. We need somebody who has nonprofit experience," which I did. And so I said yes in that moment, and sort of on a wing and a prayer, I left a very stable job with benefits and a 401k and said, "I'll do this. I'll do this for 5 years. I'm going to like get them a strategic plan, raise them a bunch of money, and then I'll move on down the road." And I was in that role for 14 years. And I just, once I got in, I got very deeply involved, not only with that family, but also the families that are part of Families United to Prevent Drowning. Helped co-found that group to really and got really deeply invested in it, honestly, and knowing that how could something that is so preventable, why does it keep happening over and over? And not in just, there's not one single solution. It's a complicated problem. We have not been able to solve it yet. We are making, I do believe, and I have to believe, that we are making progress, because I couldn't stand it if we weren't. And I do believe that we are, but it is still unbelievably heartbreaking when you see drownings continuing to happen. And Colin at that time, he was 4, but it is all ages, all water competencies. And that is something that, as I now sit in this role as the executive director of the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, something that I believe, and I do believe that my board supports me on this, that we really need to be saying that it is all ages, all water, and all water competencies. And that's the reality. It's like, certainly there are higher there, ages 1 to 4, it's the single leading cause of death, but you go up and it's teenagers, it's adults, it's older kids. And certainly at each age, the water type changes. So for example, infants up to 1, bathtubs are the most common place that they drown. Then you get the 1 to 4, and it's pools, and then you go older kids and teens and adults, and it's open water. And in Hawaii, which is one of my favorite places, you'll have a lot of open water, and it is part of the cultural norm to be in and around it. And so it's I now again sit in this role at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, and we are just that. We are an alliance. That is our, we've gotten really clear in the last year and a half on our role in the water safety space. And we need to not only educate about water safety, and we have a ton of resources on our website, ndpa.org, but we also need to amplify and elevate the work that our alliance members are doing, so that we can be the expert in certain things, but we are not the ex we are, I don't want to be the expert in everything. I want to lean on the people that are working in very specific niche areas of water safety and drowning prevention. And certainly we have a lot to say about most of those areas, but I want to work with the people that are focusing in that area. And a good example of that is April, which we're in right now, is Autism Acceptance Month. And we know that people that live with autism are at a much higher risk of drowning. And so therefore, we are developing a partnership with the Autism Society of America. And we work with Swim Angelfish, who are really well-versed in adaptive swim lessons. And I want to lean on them and their expertise and elevate what they're doing, instead of trying to create it all ourselves, because that is not what an alliance should do. So that's the work I'm in now, is like figuring out how we help I was in a did a podcast with Michael Phelps and A Safe Pool a couple months ago, and Michael and I were talking about how we have this mountaintop, and I live on a mountaintop, so we have this mountaintop, and we need more people on the mountaintop with megaphones, like talking about this. As you mentioned in your intro, it is a global epidemic, and it is a preventable one. So how do we just keep, how do we get more attention? How do we get more funding, honestly, which is a huge struggle, is to raise the money to do the work. So all that to say, I feel like I was put in this spot with the NDPA for I believe deeply in the organization. I have since I got in the space in 2010, and I learned a lot from the NDPA over the years. And so now I get the honor and the privilege of working with this organization to do more and to save more lives.
Well, in that 5-minute thing, you said more. It was, I mean, you started out with water safety as was not in your toolkit as a parent. That is a great line because I see that all around here. Nobody thinks about that. They think about the other things like car seats and
Don't
all.
touch the hot stove. Like,
Yes.
look before you cross the street and hold a
Yes.
hand in the parking lot and all
Correct.
of those things,
I
right?
think that's a very good line, a good messaging, because one of the first people, well, the first, I had the mayor on here and he said, we don't have our messaging right. But water safety should be in every parent's toolkit.
Yeah, well, funny you should mention that, because when I one of the things I don't want the NDPA to keep doing is creating more and more resources if there are already resources out there. However, I'm working on a project now that we are putting out a toolkit. It should launch beginning of May for expecting and new parents. And
Yes.
it really addresses that issue of like, where's your baby's first experience with water, which is usually the bathtub. And I know when I lived in Texas, we would have at least 10 bathtub drownings a year, which is just unbelievable, because they're preventable and it's simple things that I take for granted that they're simple because I live in this space every day. But like,
Right.
don't put any water in the bathtub when they're and leave a child unattended or children unattended. Simple things that could prevent those. And we rely on like pediatricians to carry the message about water safety. However, let's go further up the chain. Like, why are we not working with OB-GYNs? Why are we not working with, birthing classes? And so anyway, so we are I'm partnering with a hospital system here in like Intermountain Hospital in Colorado and Utah, and, to pilot this, and also with a hospital system in Oahu, to try to pilot this resource to see what's the best way to get these resources out. Is it through prenatal visits? Is it through primary care clinics? Is it discharge papers at the hospital when you take your newborn baby? But it's all about like developing good water safety behaviors, like before the baby is even in the world, and then when you're going for the first bath, because also things like babies being able to have their face wet, that is like one of the first things that when you then go to swimming lessons, if you have a child as a swim instructor, I know that if I have a child who has had a visor on their head, or like keep getting their face wiped when they're taking a bath and they're not comfortable with water on their face, it's harder to teach them how to swim because you got to put your face in the water.
Right.
And so we're working on that, and I'm very excited about that, because it's the getting there, getting further upstream, getting this message out earlier, and then continuing the message through all the ages. So yes, you're talking about with infants, then you're talking about with toddlers. It's a very different deal. Then you're talking about it with older kids, and then you have unsupervised access, and then we have alcohol enters the picture, and then you have adults and boating and blah, blah, blah. So anyway.
Well, there's one funny anecdote I will tell you. Somebody I know lives in Colorado, and I said about the water safety expert I knew, and they go, "Why would that be in Colorado? We don't really have water we have to worry about." So it goes back to your idea that people just think open ocean. They don't think really pools. They don't think rivers. They don't think lakes.
Well, in Colorado, so I did, because I'm in on the leadership team for a local water safety task force here in Lake County. I've been digging deep diving deep into the data in Colorado of where drowning's happening. And last year, of the best data that I could find, there were at least 26 fatal drownings in Colorado. 24 were adults. All of them were open water. The two children were in ditches, so still open water, but like lakes, reservoirs, it's just different. When I was in Texas, it was a lot of backyard pools because there were a lot of bathtubs, sadly, and then a lot of, all of it's sad, but and then a lot of backyard pools for kids, and then open water for adults. So I think it's that I go back to that all ages, all water, and we have to start just talking more about that, because I think we lose people in being engaged in this fight because they think that's not my issue. Like, I'm a good parent, first of all. There's a lot of blame and shame and guilt, and that's a whole nother tangent I could go off on around drownings, because they're preventable. So people, there's a lot of guilt and shame, and people want to think, oh, that's not going to happen to me because I'm a good parent, and all of these parents are good parents. I represent a lot of them, and I advocate for them, that, they didn't think this was going to happen to them, and they're good parents, and things happen, right? So, and people think, oh, my kids had swim lessons. Well, guess what? Like, I'm a very, very strong swimmer, and I almost drowned in Xterra Worlds in Maui, like, and in the ocean. And so it's a thing that we're trying, still struggling with the messaging. How do we get people to get on board and think that this is a message for them?
I think you're doing such a great job with the National Drowning Prevention Alliance. As you said, it's an alliance to educate, elevate work that's going on, and then partner with people. Like, it's Autism Month, like you said, which is a target area. I've been doing this show interviewing people around the world. There's a guy named Ferruccio Belenga who trains Newfoundlands in Italy to be lifeguards. And
The
they,
dogs, like Newfoundland dogs. Yes. Okay. I saw a story about that. It's amazing. Yeah.
And it was a great story told, but he works with an autism group in San Diego. He's partnering with them. So that's kind of been happening here. But one of the issues I had, Allison Schaefer's, who you know, wrote our 2025 water safety plan. And there you go. Very good. Mine's dog-eared, but she said it's a crisis here. I mean, we got the second highest drowning rate in the country. It's a crisis for us, and yet we still don't have the messaging right. She believes that we're making progress, even though we've had some bills submitted to the legislature that got stalled and didn't make it through. And maybe that's because we're in the midst of a crisis with the flooding and how much that costs. You go back to funding, right? And so they're into resolutions, which I didn't say to her at the time. I think it's great you have resolutions, but to me, they're like New Year's resolutions. Like, they're support of some point. What you did with Michael Phelps is excellent because we need more people like that, that people recognize and trust. I mean, and respect. We have those people here like Laird Hamilton. If Laird Hamilton came out with a water safety message, locals and visitors would
Would
go
listen.
with that guy. I'll listen to that. So
And it's interesting. I mean, and I'm going back to do a second podcast with Michael and Nicole Phelps and the A Safe Pool team, who is a big partner of the NDPA. And that one, I believe what we're going to talk about is how, as parents, because we will have kids of all different ages in this conversation, or parents of kids of all different ages. We're going to talk about, like, how do you talk about this with your kids? Like, at what age? It's very different when you talk to a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old than, even I still talk to my almost 21-year-old about this. Like, she's an oceanographer. Like, she spends a lot of time around water and is going to spend a lot of time around water. And we still talk about water safety at that age. And then everything in between, every age group has been a different conversation. So I think we're going to focus on that in our podcast. But I look forward to talking to him more because, when I share that post on our Instagram, it's like that gets a lot of traction,
yes.
and he's an amazing advocate for both water safety and for mental health issues. And so I look forward to that conversation. It's going to happen. I think we're going to Arizona in mid-May to record it, and then I'm not sure when it'll drop. But I'll tell you about something really. This is not fully baked yet, but I'm hoping it's going to happen. There's a dad on Instagram who raps to his baby doing children's books. So I have reached out to him and am asking to collaborate, and if he will do some wrapping of water safety books during May, because it's how do we get creative with reaching people? How do we get people to think this is my issue too? Like
Yes.
we need everybody on all hands on deck, so to speak.
I know that I don't know if this is true or not, but one of my interviews, they mentioned Michael Phelps having an incident either in Maui or Oahu swimming. So I don't know if that's correct or not that.
I know we talked about that in our conversation in that podcast, that first podcast. We were just talking about how different it is with in open water than it is in the pool, and he was talking about how he's so sensitive, his body is so sensitive to the water, he can feel everything. And we were starting that conversation around how do we talk to our kids about, okay, it's very different. You learned, or you swim in our backyard pool, or you learned how to swim in a pool, and now we're here and we're in this open water and it's very different. And that may have been what they were referencing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
water competency seems to be a common theme here that we need that. Swimming's important, but you need to know how to survive in water
Yep.
and
And
float.
yeah, and even the definition of water competency, which we're working, I work with on working groups for the National Water Safety Action Plan and have been since those for years. And we're talking about water competency includes water safety knowledge as well as swimming and water in water skills. So it's like out of water knowledge, like, hey, I don't go to the water without a grown up or without an adult for a child. Or, this is what a life jacket is and this is how you put it on and how you fit it properly. Like that knowledge and the knowledge around how to swimming skills, and then also like in different aquatic environments, knowing, hey, this ocean is different than that pool and is different from a lake or a river, and that kinds of stuff. And those things dovetail together because you could teach somebody to swim in a calm, clear pool and they could back float, for example. And then they get into water where there's a current and they may not be able to do the same skill that they learned in a calm, clear pool. Or getting out of a pool with steps or a ladder, that might be one thing. But if you're trying to get out of the ocean and you're getting slammed by waves, which we all probably have, that's happened, it's very real, it's very different. So I think there's a lot of really interesting and exciting conversations happening. I mean, having been in this space for 16 years or 17 years or whatever it is, and watching the field grow and develop and the conversations get more complicated. But the bottom line, and you've said it multiple times, and this is like, we have to have easy messaging. Like I live in this water safety silo, this water safety vacuum, and I know all this stuff, but like, how do I talk to someone who knows nothing about this, and how do I communicate? And we're still struggling with that. Full transparency, like none of us have gotten it right yet.
Exactly. But the point is, the difficult questions always solve difficult problems. And we've
Yeah.
got to have those difficult questions like, well, we don't have it right. We know that this doesn't work here and it doesn't work here. Why not? And so we need to keep amplifying that. And I've
Yeah.
seen it over the last 10 months. Everybody's saying the same thing. Doesn't matter where they are in the world, it's a
Yeah.
crisis. They talk about it as a problem. And we all should be working together on it, in my opinion, and
Yeah. Yeah, no. And when you talk about, it's funny, you talk about the all over the world. So I'm part of a global Rotary Club. And so it's a cause-based Rotary Club. So it is the Global Water Safety and Drowning Prevention Rotary Club. And it is the only cause-based Rotary Club, or it was the first cause-based Rotary Club. Maybe there's another one in the world. And so in my Rotary Club, there are people from all over the world. From Uganda, from New Zealand, from Australia, from the US. And I love those Rotary meetings because we get on and we talk about this as a global issue and how different it is and how, what they're saying in Australia may be different from New Zealand, from Uganda to the US, and but it's those conversations. Like, I think we can learn from everyone. Like, sometimes we get in our little, we are the United States of America and we know everything, and guess what? We do not. So, newsflash. And some epic things they're doing in Thailand and Vietnam of teaching using water that they have to teach swim lessons, where, we have aquatic deserts. I live in one. We don't have a pool here. I have an endless pool that I swim in. Like, we do not have an aquatic center here in Leadville, Colorado any longer. And I'm like, look at what they're doing. Our waters are too cold, so I couldn't do this. But look at what they're doing in Vietnam. They're using the water they have. So there's something to learn from everywhere. And the global aspect of this problem means we should have also more money behind it, which is
Yes,
so
we will talk
frustrating.
about that in a second, but somebody told me, well, it's true, I had Taishi Otono, who's head of the lifeguards in Okinawa, and Alani Vieira, who's head of the lifeguards here and also president of the Hawaii Lifeguard Association, has brought them
They're
over.
a member of the they are a member of the NDPA, by the way, Hawaii Lifeguard
Yes,
Association. Thank you so much.
they're a great group, and he said two things to me that stuck. I said, "What do you have to say to the community of Hawaii?" He goes, "Well, if you are safe around water, it will make you smile." A very Japanese thing. Then second, that he plans to start a degree in the college in life saving. And what I heard from Dr. Semsrat, who you probably know, in
Justin,
his last his podcast with Drasko before he does the first responder, he said it's starting to happen. Colleges are starting to
Amazing.
create majors in life saving and drowning prevention. And he said when he started in that area, nobody was into drowning prevention. Now it's really gained momentum. People are serious about it.
I know there's a lot of work. There was some legislation around professionalizing even more, or acknowledging that life saving and lifeguarding is a profession and it is a professional field. Like,
Oh,
I'm
we're not
so
here.
happy to hear that. And I'll tell you, I got my, waterfront lifeguard certification, and it was not easy, and I'm a strong swimmer. I mean, so it's real. So I love to hear that is continuing. And Justin is one of my a great colleague, and Dr. Semsprott, and just an incredible human too. So I love, I know the definition that you read at the beginning was one that he came up with.
Well, and then I also interviewed a woman in Italy, young doctor, who just did some research on full face masks and young children, and that it's not the age which the messaging or the label has, it's their weight. And so that's a really
Interesting.
interesting piece.
Yeah, and a recall just came out actually from
Yes.
the Consumer Product Safety Commission on
Yeah,
full
face masks, right.
masks. Yeah,
So
yeah.
she and Dr. Semstrat have gotten together, which is good
Yeah,
to be
yeah.
part of IDRA and do some more work on that. But, and she's got the attention of the Italian ministry to create questions to all the full face mask people. Because when you think about car seats, right,
Yeah.
we do it by weight, not by age, right?
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting. Yeah, I've pay attention to that. I try to pay attention to as many things I can. I pay attention to that whole thing because people ask me all the time, just like they do ask about things like puddle jumpers. Like, they're like, what about the full face, masks? And so,
Yeah, that's just
yeah.
an aside. So let's get back
Yeah.
to what is going on. What happened at your international aquatics and water safety conference that you had in the wonderful place, the Bronco? I
Beautiful, I
live in
know.
Colorado, so that's a great venue.
Yeah, nothing like a beautiful location to have a conference. Yeah, so that conference is co-hosted by the Association of Aquatic Professionals, the AOAP, and the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, the NDPA, us, and we had close to 1,500 people there, and it was incredible. I mean, I got to live at the Broadmoor for a week, which was not bad. The quality, it's the fourth year that we have co-hosted that conference together and been co-located. And so I know for the NDPA, it's amazing because we get to reach aquatic professionals and people that are in swim instruction and lifeguarding and aquatic management and things like that. And we bring a lot of the families and those impacted by drownings, and we get to put them all together. And it's a very exhausting week, but it's amazing. And we had a lot of really, really great content. I mean, the National Water Safety Action Plan did two sessions. The CDC Foundation did two sessions. We had a panel that was a large plenary session, that was all the families that are part of Families United Prevent Drowning, got up and shared a bit of their stories and what they're doing to in their loved ones' honor to impact water safety and drowning prevention. It was really great. I mean, I had a number of speaking things that I had to do, but I didn't get to go to as many sessions as I wanted, but there were so many incredible sessions. I know your Hawaii team came and spoke on the work they've been doing with the Hawaii Water Safety Plan and the legislation and things that Allison has gotten through in Sharkey's Law, and Shirley Dorego was there talking about the Alex and Duke Dorego Foundation and the work there. So the Hawaii was very well represented, which I was really, really stoked about. And it was an amazing week. I mean, I really feel like I learned a lot. I can always learn, and I think it's a great chance to network with people, connect, collaborate. I know I had helped get there. There's this team of middle school kids from Ohio who are part of they're called Team Innovate, and they're part of this Lego competition thing that is really and they had contacted me earlier in the year. They won a NDPA Water Safety Champion Award, and they have invented or in the process of inventing this inflatable swimsuit because they acknowledge that kids their age might not want to wear a life jacket. And so, granted, they're not selling it. We didn't endorse the product. It wasn't that. There are young minds that are trying to make creative and innovative solutions. So we made sure that they got to the conference. We put them in our booth for part of the time in the exhibit hall, and they got to talk to people about what they're trying to help solve this problem. And I love that. I'm on a very big right now I'm on a kick of it's not really a kick because it's kind of been a lifelong thing, but of holding up and young people that are trying to make a difference and listening to them and giving them a platform, because I think we're getting old. Like, we're getting old. We need to keep the young energy flowing in. And to have these middle school kids there just dressed in their suits and dresses and very professional and talking about their product to people in the exhibit hall was just, and they went to all sessions. Anyway, it was a great week, and I think an op a great opportunity again to collaborate and connect. And that the whole thing behind the NDPA's mission is like, how do we get people talking about and elevate what they're doing. So, it was great.
That certainly targets what you said, that young man that you saw who was singing to his
Oh yeah, the rapping.
that you're I think that's an excellent target, because you will get young people listening to that message, as opposed to the kind of standard things we've done that nobody's going to listen
Yeah,
to.
we have to change it up. We cannot. I am a lifelong learner, and I believe deeply in evaluating what we're doing. And if what we're doing is not working, we have got to change it up, people. Like, we've got to, we can keep doing the things that are working, but if there are certain things that are not working, and we can't be afraid to fail, honestly. Like, at this point in my life and my career, like, if something is, I want to try things, try new things. Let's be innovative. I'm working on some innovative, working with some innovative technology, trying to help the NDPA be on the sort of the forefront with some innovative technology and augmented reality. So, the fire safety world, they do things They're a little ahead of us in water safety, and they're using augmented reality to teach fire safety in schools. So I'm searching for a funder to help with this. But the company that does the fire safety, it's a company called Smart Kids AR, and they want to develop a water safety augmented reality similar to the fire safety. And I've been consulting or just helping advise them as a partner at the NDPA on the content for their augmented reality and water safety. But like, we gotta like try new things, you
Right.
know?
We tried something new here. We
Yeah.
brought Bruce Hopkins over from Australia, and Kalani said, "Yeah, I want to collaborate on this. I've got the Okinawan lifeguards here who I train on rescue because they have no guarded beaches and they have 1.5 million people and they go around by jet skis." So because Kalani and his guards are very expert elite in all of
Yes.
they've been training, and it was a phenomenal. Sorry you weren't here. That was the
I
first
me
time I
too.
ever met them. But then they were at the event we had with Bruce Hopkins, which was a rip current demonstration.
Oh, wow.
So
Okay.
he does that in Australia. He came on the show in the summer and was talking
Okay.
about how, people are still drowning in rip currents, and we tell them all the time. And he said, "It wasn't until somebody had me skydive," because he was part of Bondi Rescue for 18 seconds.
Oh.
Okay. He got up there, he read everything, he watched everything, he was ready. But then he got up there and he froze. And
Oh.
he could have stopped, got that plane to land, he would have, but he had no choice. He had to jump. So then he realized, I have to do that with rip currents. We make them out to be this evil thing, and then we tell people they need to be not panic, but they will panic. So he started taking people into rip currents. So Kalani goes, "I like that. I want you to come here and do that with us." So he did. He came on this
Wow.
day to
Wow.
Hanalei Bay.
Okay.
Allison, this was last month. That was the worst day. It was during our rain. The rain was going horizontal. It
Oh,
must have
geez.
only been 70 degrees, but he got 30 people in a rip, two different groups of 15. And my mouth was open because I'm looking. He said to me, did a whole big talk about everything. And he
Yeah.
said to me, when I asked who wants to do this, I figured nobody would want to do it. Everybody raised their hand. He took
Wow,
them in a rip.
that's
He knew exactly where to go. He talked
yeah.
them through it. "I don't want you to swim. I want you to just go with this. You're going to go by this break." He explained everything about where rips are. People came
Yeah.
out high-fiving each other, that they actually learned something, because people
Wow, that's
start to
amazing.
go in the ocean where the waves aren't, and that's where
Yeah.
the rip is. And we
Right,
didn't put
right.
as many signs up as possible, but I think we would have gotten a lot more people if the weather had been good. And most people I know didn't know about it, even though it was highly publicized
Yeah.
in the news.
Yeah, so who were the people? Were they just community people or were
Yes,
they?
community
Yeah, wow.
people.
God, I wish I was there. That's amazing 'cause yeah.
Yes, it was community
Oh.
people, some people I knew from the canoe club. He broke it into two groups, an older group. There were people like in their 70s going in this because they really wanted to experience it.
Yeah.
And he
Wow. Okay.
said, "Now you can stand up on this sandbank." And a lot of the guards go, "I don't think this is going to be good here." And he goes,
Right.
"I'm going to go here." And he knew exactly where to go in the ocean.
Wow. Okay. That's so
I'll send you the
interesting.
video of it.
Yeah,
But anyway, that
I
was
would
an
love to see it.
example of outside
Yeah.
thinking of messaging to get people to experience something instead of just telling them about it.
Yeah, because a lot of people are experiential kinesthetic learners, right? And it's like the hot stove situation. Like, you touch the hot stove, you're not going to touch the hot stove again.
So what came out of that,
Yeah.
Alyssa, was we have signs in the airport here in Kauai. You've seen them with the lifeguards talking. But at
Yep.
the same time, we have zip line, advertisement.
Yeah.
The client, maybe we should have water safety clinics. People should come learn something about the ocean so they feel safer in the ocean.
Yeah.
Why not?
That why not add some conservation into that
Yeah.
too? Like the how do we take better
Exactly.
care of this land? Yeah. Okay. Well, if you do it, let me know. I'd like to come.
Okay, we will. So, what's going on with water safety plan? I know we have one, and
Yes, we have one. And we've had a leadership shift, which is great. I mean, we the Tina Desart is the now the not the interim executive director, but the executive director. And now, which is great. That means, you know, and I can relate to this because I came into the NDPA as the interim executive director. And you know, interim is like it doesn't honestly, it didn't doesn't lend like confidence in anything. And so then when you take that interim away, it's like, okay, the action plan is, you know, getting solid, just like the NDPA was in a leadership transition and a transition spot. And then it's like when I became the executive director, not the interim, it was like, okay, people are paying attention. And now we have a little, we have more, even more confidence. And so the action plan, it continues to move forward. They continue, their website is really fantastic. There's a lot of resources on there. And of course, all the almost 100 recommendations from the plan. And there's, you know, people are submitting their actions that they've done. So, for example, obviously, you have your Hawaii Water Safety Coalition. I'm on the leadership team for the Texas Water Safety Coalition because that's where I lived and helped get that started. Texas is working on our strategy. It's not out as Hawaii is, but California is, you know, solid in their strategy. Florida's about to release their state water safety action plan. New Jersey released theirs last year. There's a number of other states that are working on it, so that is fantastic. And then the National Action Plan is supporting these efforts at the statewide and at community level. So there's a lot happening. They hold office hours. So, for example, there's one that's targeted at communities. So if you're working on a community, like I'm on the Lake County Water Safety Task Force here in Leadville, Colorado, and we're not working towards a plan yet. But I would. If I was wanted to, I'm working at the community level in this situation, so I could go to the office hours. And it's really like you get on, and there could be people from all over the country that are asking questions, that are collaborating, networking. How does this recommendation that's in the national plan apply to me at the local level? How do I apply it at the local level? And then they also do statewide ones. So you can go on their watersafetyplan.us, I believe, is the correct website, but you can go on there and look and see when those are. I believe they're monthly. Like there's one community one and one state one, which is great because they're engaging. Just like the NDPA is getting people to connect and collaborate and amplify, the action plan is really encouraging people that are working on strategies at the local and state level to work together, to learn from each other, and so I think there's a lot of great work going on there. They had two sessions at the conference, which were great. I didn't get to go to either of them because I was presenting at both of those times. But
So it's the Water Safety Plan US, is that what you're saying? You can.
yes, yep.
And then there's the National Coalition Water Safety, Water Task
There's
Force.
what
What?
yeah, so there's Water Safety USA, which is kind
Right.
of a group, and then there's the U.S. National Water Safety Action Plan, and then there's that National Drowning Prevention Alliance, and I can give you all the letters that go with all of those.
All right. You
I
send me
heard of
that.
all
So
of
I
those.
have it on the link. But I keep asking people now, different countries, do you have a water safety plan? And most of them don't.
Well, a lot of them, well, some of them do. So, for example, I know when I first went to the World Drowning Prevention Conference in 2017. It was in Vancouver, and there were probably 15 of us from the US there. And there was, you know, Canada had a National Water Safety Action Plan or a strategy.
Right.
Australia did, New Zealand did. And we're like, why are we not? And that's what
Yes.
sort of spurred on the beginnings of
Yes.
this. But yeah, I think that it's catching on. I think it feels like a very daunting, and we've been working on it for years since, you know, and we are just kind of in the last couple of years solid. The action plan did just become a 501c3, which is fantastic. So
What do you mean? What do you
they
mean?
became a nonprofit, their own standalone. The U.S. National Water Safety Action Plan is now a official 501c3, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And so, yeah, and of course, they're going through probably the same things that we are here at the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, which is figuring out how to fund the work. We are very far behind a lot of other countries in terms of federal funding that is supporting water safety and drowning prevention. I mean, we have the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC, and the Pool Safely campaign, which, there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now with our political climate. I'll be very diplomatic. And then there is, the CDC had the injury prevention team that focused on drowning prevention that was released from their duties. And thankfully, the CDC Foundation, which is just a private foundation or a foundation, that injury prevention team, at least a few of them, Dr. Tessa Clements, are now at the CDC Foundation doing some great, great work, but which is amazing. But we need
You
to figure this
said
out.
it 11 months ago, said it
I
has to
know.
start at the top. We can have all these nice little things happen, but if it's not a priority, a state priority, a national priority, we're not going to get anywhere. So to me, you're right. Australia, New Zealand, no brainer. I'm talking about people in Italy, people I talk to in South Africa, people I've talked to in different areas. They don't have anything. And I've But you're right. There is a British Standards Institute that has done research. Are you aware of them? That have come out against full face masks.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah,
Yes.
no, I'm very familiar with a lot of the work that's done over there. My daughter went to school in the UK, so
Right.
She actually got the opportunity to become like a water safety ambassador in Bangor, Wales as part of her oceanography and which was really interesting. They were just starting the program when she was graduating, so she didn't get to do the full thing, but there's a lot of stuff. But I to my knowledge there the UK doesn't have a water safety
Right.
strategy, a national, or whatever, a big
Right.
one. So
But there's a lot of good people doing really good research.
Oh,
Amazing.
amazing.
And so in this conference that you talked about, I heard that the Hawaii Water Safety Plan got some award from Kids Safe or Safe Kids.
Oh, Safe Kids. So they got that award at PrevCon, which was a different conference, but it was the I was there. It's the Safe Kids Worldwide Injury Prevention Conference, and that was earlier. That was in October. And yes, I believe that they did, which is amazing. They knocked that plan out of the park very,
Yeah.
very quickly.
Well, Alison Schaffers is an amazing writer, and they're very fortunate to have her. And I think Duane DeSoto, we have some really good programs here that we shouldn't be reinventing the wheel. He's an amazing job with his program with Nakama Kai, which fits into water competency swimming and the cultural piece, which everyone talks about. Kaina Makua, who is a figure here and was in Chief of War, if we've ever seen that series, with
I haven't seen the whole thing. I actually started watching it,
well,
so.
he plays King Kamehameha.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he lives here, and what he said going to a Native American conference when John Kaleh Clark, who works here, who just did research that found that Native Hawaiians and Pacificers are drowning at a higher rate. He asked, Haina Makua asked me to ask him, what's in for our Kailui or Kalui, which means our people. And he said, in terms of water safety, we've had all kinds of ceremonies that we have. It's about time we create a new ceremony and we could do it around water safety. And that like a very cool idea, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Duane DeSoto said some of the same things you said. We operate in these silos, right? And we have really neglected our kids, and it's about time we do something about that. And we all have a responsibility where we swim, paddle fish. We all have a responsibility to take care of each other and not just operate in our own silos.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think what you're doing with Mike Phelps to elevate it to a level where people can see that people that have that kind of clout maybe will help.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think again, his found he and his wife Nicole and their foundation are doing incredible things in water safety and in mental health. And I think the more we can normalize this conversation and get people to think, oh, this is for me. This is not somebody else's thing. This is for me too. And it may be applied differently based on your access to water or your water competency or your, fear or not fear of water. But like it, this, we all interact with water in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in a bathtub or a shower or a pool or a lake or an ocean or a river. And so, yeah, it's just that how do we just get more people elevating the issue? And that's another thing. I sent a message to the Ad Council a couple months ago saying, hey, would you like to work with us on some sort of ad campaign or awareness campaign?
Right.
Because, I again, trying new things, just trying to be creative and innovative in partnerships and collaborations. That's an alliance. That's what an alliance should be doing. So I feel like I was supposed to end up in this seat for whatever, like wasn't planning on it, but it's definitely work that I do believe that I do believe we're making a difference. I have to believe that. I have to lean into that every day and say, even if it's like one small step forward. And drownings, I would love to be like, we're gonna eliminate them totally. Like, I'm realistic. Like, if we can let's just reduce these numbers. Let's educate people. Let's change the culture around water safety.
Yes.
And at every age, and starting with the youngest,
Right.
and
That's so well said because drowning is preventable. As Colleen Saunders, Dr. Saunders told me from South Africa, it hit me. She goes, drowning is preventable. It's not inevitable. And a lot of people just say, well, that happens. People just drowned here. It's just part of living on an island. No. Loss of
yeah.
life, which Mike Tipton started talking to me about back last May. And I'm like, going, okay, years of lo life lost. And he'd say, well, in Hawaii, the average age is 84 and people die at four. That's 80 years of productive
Of
life lost.
lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Wow.
so, and even Alison Schaefer said, everybody wants to know about what it's going to cost. And we got to get better at explaining the numbers to people, even though
Yeah.
they seem to be so obvious.
Well, yeah, and some of the work that's being done, it's not published yet or it's not finished yet, but the CDC Foundation is doing is going to be really, really great in terms of that, because they're doing some work around the costs of, how many lives would have been saved had life jackets been worn, how many lives would have been saved with fences and barriers in place, and what's the cost of those. And I
Oh,
want
that's
to I
great.
meant to Yeah, I meant to talk about this when we were talking about the conference. So I'll mention it now just because I want to. I think the ripple effect of drownings is so huge and so much more huge than anybody imagines. And we did a session at the conference. It was called The Ripple Effect of Drowning. And Jonathan St. Clair, who is the Jasper's dad, Jasper Ray Foundation. He lost his son Jasper in a backyard pool drowning 12 years ago, I believe. And he facilitated this session, and we really talked about it's you have, the family, you have the person who drowned, then you have the immediate family, then you have the aunts, uncles, grandparents, then you have the community, then you have the first responders that were part of that, whether they were at the hospital or the EMS or the lifeguards or whomever. And the totality of the impact of a single drowning incident is epic. I mean, it was one of the most powerful sessions of the conference. Jonathan's dad got up and talked about, as a grandfather, not only losing his grandson, but then as a dad watching his son who lost his son. It was just like, and I think we just, the impact of a single life lost is huge. And then you multiply that by the fatals, and then, as you mentioned in your intro, the non-fatals that are not even reported or counted or able to even know the magnitude of that. And then if you put a financial dollar by it, which, $53 billion of, I mean,
It's
it's
huge.
crazy. But we have to talk about it better. Like, I know we have to talk about it better, and we're still trying. I think that's another one of the things we're working on. Like, how do we communicate the magnitude of this problem?
Right. I think we just keep trying. I like you said, we got to keep trying different angles and keep doing it. I mean, the numbers are there, and if they're working on that, that's wonderful. And then they should put out on their own advertisement on it. And it should be very straightforward. Look, this is a crisis. Crime out. So I'm just amazed at all the work you do. You have so much energy. And when you came on to the beginning of the show and I knew nothing about this, only that we had a problem. We had the second highest drowning rate. And the governor had said, well, if you pick up this water safety plan and read it and take it to heart, you can save lives. And I thought that was the best thing that's been said about this water safety plan. And I think people are trying here. But as you said, it's got to start at the top. We have to have it from the top. Everybody can do all this little kind of thing, which is wonderful. But somehow it's got to be at the top. We got to have legislation. It doesn't cost that much for us to set up a water safety group, which was one of the pieces, right? So it'd be coordinated for all of Hawaii, so we get our messages all together. That didn't even make it, right?
I mean, I think it's the top down, the legislation and the advocacy and those pieces, and then at the same time at the bottom with the child that's not even born yet and the expecting and new parents and on up the chain, and then we will somewhere meet in the middle, but it is, I have figured out that for whatever reason this has become my life's work, and it's val it I, my North Stars are the families.
Well, let's,
Every,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, before we get off, I want to hear what you do
Yeah.
with the lake task force or whatever about drugs.
Oh, our,
I want
so,
to hear what you're going
yes.
to do.
Well, so here in Lake County, Leadville, Colorado, we have two lakes. Well, we have Turquoise Lake and we have Twin Lakes, and they're cold. They're mountain lakes, right? So they're right now, Turquoise Lake is still melting out and it's not even fully defrosted yet. I think I'm going to try to go paddle on Twin Lakes, which is a little, 20 minutes away on Sunday, and see how that is. But we had two drownings last year. Well, there were two fatal and one non-fatal. The non-fatal, the person was wearing, it was a child wearing a life jacket. His dad was one of the fatals, not wearing a life jacket and drowned. And then the other fatality was like a 30 something, I believe, or late 20s, 30 something individual who was also not stand-up paddling, not wearing a life jacket. So after that, those incidents last summer, a few of us in the community, paddlers and water lovers, as well as like search and rescue and the sheriff's office and the health department, and our newspaper got together, and we just started a task force. And public health committed some dollars to the task force, and I've been raising money for this. And we are going to put up multiple life jacket loaner stations. Our first step was to like get some loaner stations at these lakes, like at least put something up. But we had to go through all the getting permission from the Forest Service and the all of that. Applied for multiple grants, so we will have at least, we got permission to put three at each lake this summer, and they have to be mobile though. And then next year we had to do permitting, all this stuff. But then the next year we have the ability, if we go through all the proper things, to make them permanent. So we're just stepping our way into it, and just trying to, first things first, like community education. So the newspaper is doing multiple, I've written an article, they're doing multiple ads, they're doing, some really great, and our tourism office is doing some really good. There's an official guide that comes out, a winter one and a summer one. And I've been writing water safety stuff for that for the last 2 years. And so we're amping that up and including that messaging when we talk to people about camping in our area, or how to camp safely and bear safety and things like that. Like, we're adding water safety in there. So we're like, it's a homegrown, very homegrown effort, and we'll see how it goes. Goal is really, honestly, if we can get loaner stations up at both lakes this summer and get a community education and awareness plan going, then we will. We're training volunteer water rangers to collect data at the lakes. So, both on people's behaviors, like, are people wearing life jackets? Are they not? Collecting data on our loaner stations. Are there life jackets missing? Are there life jackets that are ripped? Are they torn? Then that data will wrap up and go up into the, give that data to us and we will figure it out. It'll help inform search and rescue as to where, search and rescue's data will inform us as to where incidents are happening, as to where to put the life jacket loaner station. So that's all happening locally.
Look, Alyssa, you're talking about a water safety toolkit, which I think I want to know how people could get a hold of. People, that I know who have young kids or whatever
Yep.
available. I need to know that from you. But
Easy on the NDPA website.
listening
Yep.
to what you just did, you need to come up with a water safety plan that people could follow, because you're just so systematic in what you do. And you do it like it's natural. Most people in the community, they don't think of half those things. But if you
Yeah, well,
really get.
it's I take for granted that all of that's up here. It's like I've been doing this and it's simple, like actionable. And I will say, like, the national plan is very overwhelming. I mean, it's huge. It's
Right.
98 recommendations. And if what I could say, if I could give advice from both working locally on this task force and with the Texas Water Safety Coalition and supporting Hawaii and working a little bit with California, is that, find the things in your, figure out what's happening in your specific area, find the recommendations that apply, and then figure out how to do it, like, small little steps. I mean, if you try to take that whole thing and do it all, it's, everyone's going to get overwhelmed. And right now, no one is, not many people are being paid to do this work. Like, on our task force, we're all volunteering our time. Like, I just come with a lot of expertise in this particular area. So,
Well,
but like,
that's where you could actually put it in a document so people wouldn't be overwhelmed. Because I just heard some really good things of how you connected here, and this group is going to see, survey people. Even if you couldn't do all those things, the list that you're talking about makes total sense, and people could see, okay, well, here's where I could start, here's where I could add. And here's how I could make a difference. I mean, you need all these other groups you're getting involved with. So I think, to me, it would be very helpful.
I'll see if that, I'm not great at the getting things. I'm it's like up here in the
You
head.
just give
I'm
it to
not,
somebody else, or you just use AI to write it for you. You just...
Take everything that I just said and put that in a plan. Perfect.
right. Well, what else is going on with you? Anything, what do you see? You've been working on this for almost 2 decades, from what I'm gathering. What do you think we can see in the next 5 years? What do you see? What would you like to
Get
see?
out my crystal ball. I see more states and communities working on strategies, plans, whatever they're calling them, but galvanizing their efforts and actually getting the work done, some faster than others. Like, I know, Hawaii was really fast to get that plan out there. Texas, we've been trying and whatever, but people are going to go at their pace that they have the resources for. So I see more of that. It's really exciting to see new states coming on board. It's like, oh, now Idaho is working on it and whatever. I see more of that. I see more collaboration, and maybe this is a wish, but I hope, and a hope, but I do see it, more collaboration within aquatics and water safety. And I would like to see more funding available because, it takes funding, it takes people, it takes to get good people. You have to pay them. You don't have to, but it's helpful. And to move the needle, like, we've got to get more funding. And I do see, I'm hopeful that that will come. I I don't know exactly how, but I'm hopeful that that's going to come. I see us raising a generation as we've got younger people that are learning at earlier ages, you know, about water safety, that as they get older and as they become parents, and that we're going to have that cultural shift around, hey, I need to think about that. Like, I think about a bike helmet or a snowboard helmet, even like,
Right.
and I would love to not see any more families come into this mix. It's just not realistic that there aren't. But I see that the families that are doing this work are making an incredible difference in the legacies of their loved ones that they've lost or almost lost. And I see those family foundations doing so much great work. So I have to have hope, and I have to believe that, like, we're going to keep making progress, and we're going to keep moving forward, and we're going to see the numbers come down. I would love to see that. I'd love to work myself out of a job, but for now I'm here, and you know, I balance it out. I have a soup business on the side, so I make
I
soup on the
saw that.
side.
You have soup, which is great.
The soup hug, it's my like warm, comforting thing that balances sometimes out the heavy of working and drowning prevention full time, but
I just think, Allison, more people are talking about Alyssa. I think more people are, sorry, Alyssa. I'm, I think more people are talking about drowning and water safety. I just see it here more often. And Local News did a really good piece on drowning and water safety. If you haven't seen it, I can send it to
Yeah,
you,
send it to me, please.
which was well done and talking about a family member who had lost his son. Started off with that and talks about the whole trauma of it impacts an entire community, right? And lifeguards and the first responders and everything that you've said. So we never had that before. We didn't have any.
So that's the I'll go answer your question again and with another added point, which is, yeah, more people actually talk about it. More people are, you know, it's the and we're saying more of the same things. We're speaking similar language. And so I think we're on that path. There's so many amazing people that are working in this space and working together in this space, and it's I do think that is gonna, you know, gonna move the needle. Like one last thing, like I was talking about Jonathan St. Clair of the Jasper Ray Foundation, and you know, he lost Jasper 12 years ago, and he wanted to do something in Jasper's memory and honor that was a little bit more on the positive and like less heavy, like I lost my son. And so he is, it's called the Wave Maker Tour, and I'm helping him pull this off this summer. He is going to all 30 Major League Baseball parks in 30 days, and he is going to try to raise awareness and $662,000 for water safety and drowning prevention. Jasper was alive for 662 days before he drowned. And Jonathan is on a mission. So he's going all over to every baseball park starting on July 17th in Seattle at the Mariners, and he's finishing at the LA Dodgers on August
Oh.
15th. And he's going to partner with a water safety organization in each city or each. With each game, I'm helping him coordinate all of that. And he just, we're going to try to at least like do the wave at every single game just to get on the Jumbotron and whatever. And then there are some, you know, wa some water safety activation events at every single one, like a tailgate in the parking lot
Yeah.
or something bigger, like the Arizona Diamondbacks have a pool at their baseball park. So we're going to try to get something going there. But like that is like generating some attention, generating some more awareness. So it's those kinds of things. And maybe all together, all of these things will result in even more people talking and doing and, you know, changing their own behaviors around water.
What a creative idea. That is
Yeah. So
brilliant.
the Wave Maker Tour, we're working on the website and the whatever. But yeah,
Wow.
it's gonna
Yeah,
be
send us
epic.
some information on that. We can put it up on the
Yeah.
site. I mean, when is that going to start?
Starts on July 17th in Seattle is the kickoff game, and then finishes August 15th. So it's and on World Drowning Prevention Day, which is July 25th, is the
Right.
Texas Rangers game. So we'll do something. Yeah, do something. I'm gonna go to probably six or seven of the games, and support the effort. The NDPA is
Your
part of it.
energy makes everybody get it's just kind of contagious.
Oh.
Alisa, it really is, Alisa. I just think it's great. So keep up what you're doing and stay in touch and send me all this information. I have
Absolutely.
to go back that you said water safety was not in your toolkit as a parent. That is
Nope.
an amazing piece. And I think we need to all think about it, the layers of protection that we have for lots of things in our society,
Yep.
but we haven't gotten that far in water safety, and we have to keep, amplifying what we know and talking to people like you who have been doing it for so long. And you're probably
Yeah.
tired of saying the same message, but it's important to people who haven't heard it,
No,
right?
but you know what? You added something to my message. So we've got like drowning is fast, silent, and preventable, but drowning is inevitable is a piece of that. But I do think that people need it in their toolkit at all ages, and it
Yes.
changes. And so all ages, all water.
Yeah, I think you're coming up with a good message. Keep going at it.
Working on it.
We need the simple message that really hits people. So,
Yeah. Well, thank you for inviting me back on. I really
Alyssa,
enjoy this.
thank you
I
so
would
much.
love to come do one in person because I need to come back there. So,
Okay. Well, then
yeah.
let's plan on it anytime. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. All
Thanks.
right. Thanks so much.
Have some good soup.
I'll go make some.
All right. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely.
Well, Alyssa, I don't know what to say. I mean, you have so much to say, and it gets frustrated to me, but I find that people I've talked to around the world are really concerned that we do this as a global issue, and
Yeah.
they want to support everything. I didn't. There was a World Drowning Prevention Conference in Egypt. Did you know
Egypt.
anything about that one?
I didn't go because there was such a, well, A, it was expensive, and I've been working on,
Right.
raising the money to keep the NDPA afloat. And
Exactly.
so I was like, I'm not going to do that. And
Of
it was
course.
also like just not a great time to travel there. And it
No.
seemed, yeah, so I
I
did not
agree.
go, but I'm part of this global Rotary Club. Like, I think you could do an episode and bring a couple of the people on from that, and I can set that up.
Okay.
I can invite you to one of our meetings too. We're about to be able to invite guests to meetings, and I think it could be a really interesting conversation just having, Australia, Uganda,
Right.
Zealand, US, like have like a little round robin of like, anyway, I'd love
I
to
agree.
help facilitate that.
Because just talking in our own little silo of Kauai or why, it's like stupid. I don't,
Yeah.
it doesn't make any sense. People have to
Yeah.
listen to people outside of their environment to kind of
Yeah.
go, whoa, I didn't know that, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me know if you want me to
Of course.
facilitate that, because
Of
that would
course.
be great.
You're too much. What event are you doing next? What athletic?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm getting ready. So every June, this will be my 7th year doing this, but 5th year going to the island of Eleuthera in the Bahamas to train swim instructors and teach swim lessons. And I go with Face in Water, which is a nonprofit I'm on the board for. And we go, so we're working, I'll be going back there in June. And it's really interesting because we've been partnering with the One Eleuthera Foundation, which is a really amazing foundation on the island that does a lot of things. And one of them is a learn to swim program that I discovered during COVID. Like, they started it and I saw an article that popped up. So I reached out and said, hey, we do these international trips and do you need help? And so anyway, this will be the 5th year that we've gone. But this year, instead of just focusing on the primary focus has been on kids and this learn to swim program for kids. We taught adults in the evenings and in the bay and whatever. But this year we're working more with women who are on the island, and they are terrified of the water because of hurricanes or trauma. And some of these women, like we started working with them last year, they just kept finding us, and we are known as the nice white ladies on the island. And it was like they're one of them is the president of the Rotary, one of them is an incoming president of the Rotary, outgoing president of the Rotary, business owners, like the school principal. And so we're focusing this trip on we're doing working with primarily with women. We're going to still support the Learn to Swim program for kids, but we teach in the open water, and we are talking about a lot of different things, not just water safety, but that breast cancer is huge on that island. And so we're going to be,
Wow.
yeah, anyway, so that's
That's very
next on my,
cool. That's very cool. Good for
yeah,
you.
next on my list of things to do. And I'll be doing the burro race again, which did I share with you that I met the
No.
woman? Do you? Okay,
Yeah.
so I don't know if we talked about this. Well, so I do this burro race, the Leadville burro race. I've
I
done it
saw that.
twice. Yeah. And the first year I completed it. This past year I did not complete it because my burro stopped at 3 miles and
I
decided she
saw
was not.
that
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. Well, the woman who was racing the burro that I had had the year before, that Dixie, who we had finished, I went over to meet to see Dixie when I was getting my burro all ready to go or whatever. And there was this woman who was who was getting was gonna run with Dixie, and she's from Oahu. And I was like, okay, I've been looking for you. I knew there was someone who registered for the race from Hawaii. And so turns out we start out on the race, and we're together. Like, our burros are going at the same pace. So we're walking, and then mine started walking slower, and then she was like with me. And then mine started to stop. And as we're walking, though, we were talking about like what we do. And I'm like, oh, I work in water safety and drowning prevention. And she says, yeah, I work in, she's a nurse or ER nurse or something. She said, but my sister drowned. And I'm like, of course, of all the people doing the burro race, I end up with the lady that has a drowning in her, whatever. So so we're walking, and I'm like, there was a reason why we were
Wow.
supposed to be trudging this path together. And so anyway, we talked, and I'm going to help connect her to some of the families United to Prevent Drowning and
Oh.
stuff. But it was the most bizarre, like, really? Like,
This
just doing a burro race. Like, why? But
you have
it
this
was a really beautiful
energy,
connection.
Alyssa.
And I
You
ran into
have
her then a week
energy.
later. I ran into her a week later. I was like volunteering at like the Leadville 100 bike race, and I hear her like calling my name, and I'm like, she stayed in town for another week. And I'm just like, okay, this is so bizarre. But anyway, but yeah.
Well, that just tells you you're on to something, you know? You are.
I believe the universe or whomever, whatever the higher power you believe
Right.
in is, puts things in our paths for a reason, and I pay attention. I think a
Right.
lot of people don't pay attention, like not pay
Exactly. And
attention.
just stay positive and keep moving forward. That's all I can say about that,
Yep.
right?
Yep. Yep. Well, I'm glad you were put in my path too. So,
Yeah, me too. It was great to talk to you again
yeah.
after almost a year. So let's
I
stay.
know. Well, let me know when that, like, send me the link or whatever it
I
is
will.
so I can push it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Bye.
Mahalo. Bye.